Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to this week's episode of 20 Minute Tims. That is the mid-season mailbag. Celtic are on their winter break, but we are not. The flagship sails on. Melly and Stephen. Couple of days into the transfer window yet, nobody's arrived. Absolute disgrace, and that's what we're here to moan about.
Outrageous. What is that, what, a week now, basically, into the transfer window? That's absolutely outrageous. The eighth, which is absolutely disgusting, quite frankly. It's unacceptable.
How much money's landed in Brendan and Mr. Lowell's bank accounts since the window? They need to ask themselves, have they earned it? That's the question, have they earned it?
We've been talking about a 72 million all season. What's it sitting at now? What's it been accrued to?
The interest alone. Listen, what we've done is we've reached out to our Patreons, patreon.com/20minutetims, if you want to get involved in such fun and games as this and get extra videos, podcasts and writing from us all through the winter break. And we've asked them to send in some mid-season mailbag questions. So it's a special. We've reached out to the patrons. They've sent us in some questions.
So don't blame us, basically. Don't blame us for the level of intellect, for the level of engagement on this. So we'll find out what's in this bulging mailbag.
Did you guys get a wee look at it beforehand, or is it just the macking on that?
I prefer to do it that way, to be honest. So the reactions are organic.
So you're shooting for the hip. Listen, I've filtered some of the questions out. Thank you to everyone on Patreon that sent us a question. Some of them are a bit too risky for the public audience, but if you want some X-rated content, a couple of blue jokes, then Patreon.com.
Do it after hours. Is it going to be Patreon after hours?
DMT after hours.
Like that sexy Hollyoaks thing that used to be on Channel 4. Remember they used to stick one on at 9 o'clock? It's going to be a bit like that.
Raunchy version. What did they call it, Hollyoaks After Dark?
Something like that.
Was it? TMT After Dark. You can get that on patreon.com/20minutetims. Quickly turn it into OnlyFans. Right, first up. From Sean Salmon, are we buying Bernardo? Melly, Stephen, we've got an exclusive piece of Patreon content out right now, a mid-season report card where we go through the squad and we rate the players on how well they've done this season. And the one big caveat, as it was filmed about 3 weeks ago, was...
Before he became player of the year, basically.
Yeah, before he arrived on the scene, was Bernardo's performances. So are we going to sign him, or should we sign him, Melly?
Off the last three performances, we should, but look, we've had months of them not doing anything. So I think it's a case of right now, it depends on the fee and all that. But look, we've got him on loan for the rest of the season. So let's see how he gets on. Let's see if he can build up consistency. If he puts in performances like he has done over the past three games, definitely. But Celtic have looked a lot better with him in the team. He's added goals to his game and he's... No, there yet, but potential Hun scalper on the horizon. I think if the fee's good, if he continues this, then it's a bit of a no-brainer. But saying that, 3 weeks ago, you could have said it's a no-brainer to send him back in January. So I think we'll just need to let it play out. I don't think there's any rush for it because of we've got the fee there. So I think if we'll see how he gets on the rest of the season. But if he keeps this up, to have him, Hatate, McGregor and O'Reilly, we need four or five good midfielders and he's going to be one of them, but he needs to keep this up.
I don't know if anyone has ever properly discussed, ever really properly defined what the scalping threshold is, because it's not one goal. It's definitely not one goal. That simply puts you in there with your Badr El Khadouri, stuff like that. That's all
your
that
Lee
does
Nailers.
For you. Your Lee Naylor. So I wonder what the threshold is to be
more
to
than three.
I'd suggest
there need
so.
To be a winning goal in there as well. I'd say.
Yeah, that's very true. So Bernardo,
I think, the thing about Bernardo though, Stephen, is that what I've seen from him in the flashes that I've seen from him, I've been impressed.
Yeah.
It's particularly recently, he's impressed me in some of the Champions League games as well. But just strangely, he wasn't getting picked because Brendan was having a bit of a brain fart with his with his selections, and he couldn't really decide himself who he wanted, when he wanted them. And Bernardo was in this strange position where he was only getting picked for the most difficult games. And then the sort of stuff that you would consider easier, but the stuff that was tripping us up, he was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and even when Bernardo was being picked for domestic games, I think he sort of struggled to imprint himself on the games, and he was failing to display any sort of standout attributes that made him stand out as like a must sign or even a must pick. He just came across as one of these midfielders that comes in and sort of floats through games, never really properly getting forward, never really properly being defensive. I likened him to like a Massimo Donati or a Mark Crosas, a nice enough, tidy player and all that, but never really took hold of the game or anything like that. That is until the last three games where his talent is there for all to see. And the thing is, though, when we said, like, let's get Bernardo signed, we put out a YouTube clip saying it's time, just get it done. But the problem with that is a lot of people got back to us and said they totally agree, just get the deal done, whatever it is, pay it, double it, whatever, after the Rangers game. But a lot of people were saying, right, relax, guys, come on. And it did make me think, we were in that kind of post-Derby haze. I think what we were doing there, a Derby is kind of the equivalent of when you're like on something at the Arches or something.
Liam Hayes, there's another one.
You're making these like grand plans. You and your pals are starting businesses together and you're going to go away travelling and you're all going to move in together. And then tomorrow morning you wake up and think, what was I agreeing to last night? And then Peter Law was like, I paid £6 million for Paolo Bernardo after a goal in a Derby. So I suppose that it was worth issuing a slight calm down. But the thing is, I think we need to get out of the idea that if it truly is 5 million,
there's
fees
a lot of rumours
going
about, isn't there, that it's as little as two and a half now.
Even if it is 4 or 5 million, a few people said this, I would love him, but not at 5 million, I would maybe pay 4. And I'm just like, well, is this just the going rate for what a good player? Like, this is the purpose of a loan like that.
David Turnbull, more or less.
Well, I suppose so. Given inflation and all that, however that works. But if that's just the going rate for a good player who's going to improve your team, then I can't really see the problem with it. I know that in Scotland we still think of that as a lot of money, and in Scotland it is, but in a European sense, it's absolutely nothing. If we want players who can truly kick us on at a certain level, then we're not going to get it for £2 million. We've tried that so many times.
And that's the difference. Like the point I was making about the David Turnbull thing, like the difference of 4 million and 5 million about between a player is nothing. You don't get a much better player paying £1 million extra.
No, definitely not.
What are Celtic going to do with the million they saved?
Another three players?
I know, probably not much, just get it spent. So I think, for me, I think, Melly, I think you're right there. Just, you need to sort of give it, there's no rush. We've got him on loan at the end of the season. I think if Celtic are panicking in the January window and they can't get any signings through, then maybe they might just get that one over the line just to get something up on the socials. First signing of the January window, it's Bernardo. Next up, new contract for Liam Scales.
Yeah.
But I think I would give it the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, and see where we are with Bernardo. But I'd have no beef at all now, seeing what I've seen from Bernardo, if we had signed him in the summer, if we had just went out and paid £4 or 5 million for the guy and seen what I'd seen so far, I wouldn't really have much of an issue with it.
No, because it would be one of those ones as well where it would have been panic stations. If we'd paid £5 million in August, right, and he comes in and it takes him until December to truly establish himself, there will have been a lot of questions asked and absolute panic. But then you get over that hump and you're looking back on it thinking, well, he was just settling in. We need to give these people time to adjust and all that, and everything would calm down if he's going in there and scoring against Rangers and being man of the match and setting up a couple of goals in recent games as well. So I think that's... It's I'm comfortable with it just now. I think I overall agree. Just let's just see how it goes until the end of the season. There's no need to jump the gun on these things just because he's had a few brilliant weeks. I think we can calm down on it for now. But yes, is the answer.
Is that an official TMT calm down? Is that an official wait and see?
It's a calm down, but on this current trajectory, if he can keep this up, if he can play like that and more, you know, a little bit more consistency, I think it's a no-brainer. You just get a guy like that signed, because what do we do if we don't? If we say $5 million is too much, do we spend another 2 years trying to find a guy who is kind of as good as Paolo Bernardo, signing guys from maybe Korea and what that is? It's kind of an endless cycle, really.
But that's another thing I was going to come on to. You know, with Bernardo, we have a known quantity here that we could go out and spend the money on. Do you take that $5 million and risk it on someone else? Because we know what Celtic's track record's been like so far. I mean, for me, I'm just like, sign the guy. It's a safe bet. We know we've got with him. We've got a deal agreed. We're not going to mess about. There's so much that can go wrong with Celtic in transfer business at the moment. Talent ID seems to be in the toilet for the most part. and then when it comes to actually negotiating deals, players slip through our fingers left, right and centre, and we're negotiating and quibbling on money. So the Bernardo deal was already sort of pre-packaged, ready to go, and he's a known quantity. So from that respect, I think there's a strong impetus for me to say, just, you know, get the deal done. Maybe not in January, there's no need to do that, but if he's still performing well in sort of March, February, April time, or February, March, April time even, I would be inclined to get it done.
I suppose the other danger is that, despite the fact Celtic have got an agreement in place, if he gets even better, then it quickly becomes out of Celtic's hands, because it's all down to him to agree eventually. If Celtic are like, we should have signed this guy in January, if like West Ham and all that are coming in for him because he's been brilliant.
That is the most Celtic outcome, isn't it? The most Celtic outcome is this guy performs brilliantly, starts attracting interest from the likes of like West Ham, Fulham, some Premier League club, Midland Premier League clubs, and immediately we are just not in the conversation anymore. Next up, we have a question here. Let me just bring my little graphic up. Greg Taylor. Does Greg Taylor receive more criticism for subpar performances than Alistair Johnson, purely because he's Scottish? Martin Melly.
I think there could be something in that, to be honest. I think because Alistair Johnston has been signed and we didn't have any previous with him, then we instantly think he's better. But I think when we signed Alistair Johnston, he was a better player than Greg Taylor was when he signed. So it's quite difficult to really specify. But I think there is something in that. I think Greg Taylor's just one of these guys who, it's always just going to be that guy that you always think you can do better. And look, I think that's always going to be the case. That doesn't mean he's a bad player or he has been a bad player for Celtic, but I think you can go out and get a better player than Greg Taylor, but Celtic just don't seem to be able to do it. And
I see a pattern emerging every time we're discussing a player. We're like nervous, aren't we? We're like, in theory, you should be able to go out and get a better player than Greg Taylor, but we don't trust Celtic to do it. You know, in theory, we could take our time in Bernardo, but we don't trust Celtic to do it.
And I think it's the same thing. Like, Celtic brought in Greg Taylor on deadline day. All right, Greg Taylor is not a guy you go out and get on deadline day. You could have got him in the 1st of June if that's the guy you wanted. He was brought in because other targets fell through. Apparently it was Aaron Cresswell, Celtic were trying to get the time. So Celtic have always been trying to get somebody better, but look, we've seen it's not easy. Players have come in since Greg Taylor's come in and he's been the one that's held it down. Even when he was there at first, it was Boland, Goley, Hayes and Taylor. Taylor didn't hold down the place until Ange came in, really. He wasn't playing in that 3-5-2 formation. Ange came in and sort of changed his game a bit, and he's shone in that role. But I still think for going forward, goalkeeper, left-back, right winger, three positions that Celtic have to get better in. That doesn't mean Greg Taylor's a bad player. He's been good, he's been consistent for Celtic, but he simply can't do what some managers want him to do, and not every manager plays inverted fullbacks, so we need somebody that can do more than that.
Stephen, I was having to look back some old thumbnails from the TMT archives on YouTube there yesterday, and we had one last season called the caption on it was Greg Taylor MVP ?
Okay. Yeah. I think last season, at points last season, Greg Taylor was absolutely excellent. I think he was at the heart of a lot of good things that Celtic were doing.
Scoring goals,
yeah. He scored quite recently as well against Dundee, St Mirren it was. So, he's still doing that on occasion. But for whatever reason, Greg Taylor, and I don't really know the reasons why. I think maybe the unfashionable Scottishness of a player like that maybe does hold
people
back?
Do you think there's
back?
Anything in the sort of the difference in quality? I mean, has Greg Taylor and Alistair Johnson, has one been much better than the other?
No.
I think the sort of, I think that's what the questioner's getting at. I think it's like both of these players have been performing almost identical, but Greg Taylor gets pounded every single week and AJ is just like, his performances up until recently have been relatively uncriticised.
I think there's something in it, and what Melly says is right as well about how I think first impressions matter a lot when it comes to fan bases. So the other example we've often used is Carl Starfelt, who never really seemed... That's not true. It's not that he never shook it off, but for a certain element, there was always that lack of trust in Carl Starfelt because of the bad start he had. It was always that... Still, people calling him a bomb scare, despite the fact that his record with Carter Vickers is absolutely ridiculous, and they never lost games together. They just didn't do it, but there was always that hint of but... He's good until he's no. It's going to happen any minute. It's all going to blow up in our faces. So there was that wee bit of kind of mistrust in Carl Starfelt. It's less true to say that of Greg Taylor, but I think maybe it's just been that kind of thing where he failed to establish himself. You think about his first season, it was Ball and Goalie. So Ball and Goalie was the other guy there. Eventually, both of them lost their place and it was Johnny Hayes that took over. So Greg Taylor wasn't really featuring all that much in his first season. When he did, he was just okay. That is against the backdrop of having to replace Kieran Tierney. How do you do that in Scotland? How do you do that as any kind of signing from Kilmarnock? How do you replace Kieran Tierney? So maybe that has set up Greg Taylor for a lot of hard work ahead of him to try and convince people. And maybe that never happened for some people, and that's what leads them to get criticised when Alistair Johnston, I think, is probably an element of, one, the shiny new toy that comes in. We always love new signings coming to the club. Two, Alistair Johnston, a very likeable guy, and his approach, his demeanour on the pitch is such that fans really buy into that kind of thing, you know, and that's obvious that he's a total warrior out there. But in terms of performance, I think Greg Taylor, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to carry that trust with him, despite the fact they had two absolutely brilliant seasons there. It's always a kind of, but it's a bit to go wrong for Greg Taylor.
Yeah, I feel bad for Greg Taylor on that. I really do, because I'm guilty of it as well. But no matter what Greg Taylor does, no matter how good he performs one week to the next, his head's always on that chopping block, isn't it? Yeah. We're always like that way. You dodged the guillotine this time, young man, but it's coming for you next.
I think the European games play a part in that, don't they? Because it seems to be MD with a bit of pace and power just breezes past him. And it's like, that's the one thing he's
Bodo Glimt was a bad one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's one thing he's not going to be able to do anything about. It's just genetics in it, as Gordon Strachan would say. So I think that's a thing, but... he looks fine in Scotland, that's fine, but again, we're wanting better than that. We're wanting to progress further than that. So I'm not against having Greg Taylor in the squad. He's a good player, but I still think to push on, Celtic need to go for somebody better.
But I suppose, just to sort of put a bow on it, so you agree with the questioner there, you agree that yes, sort of, he get Alistair Johnson sort of is he due equal criticism this season than Greg Taylor?
Well, I think we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, or last week rather, after the Rangers game. Alistair Johnson was dreadful. He was absolutely terrible. I think if Greg Taylor had turned that in, and Greg Taylor has been capable of that in the past, some woeful fullback performances against Rangers haven't been forgotten about. Juranovic at left back was another one. Remember that absolute disaster he had. So I think Alistair Johnson has had bad games this season. I think he was quite exposed in Europe, similar to Greg Taylor has. But I suppose that feeds into the point as well. It doesn't really follow Alistair Johnson around as much as it does Greg Taylor. But there are probably countless reasons for that. I don't know exactly what it is. But on the question itself, is it because he came from Kilmarnock? Maybe. It could play into these things.
There's
and probably
a bit of
does.
That, isn't there? There's really always a bit of that. They're just less fashionable. And I don't know why, because as far as footballing heritage goes, you know, Scottish football and Kilmarnock are leagues ahead of, where did we get Montreal or something?
Montreal.
The Canadian League. So you would expect the guy from Canada to be treated with a bit more suspicion than the guy from Kilmarnock, but it's just not the case.
So many people watching this going like, "I bet he was at Rangers as a kid as well, Greg Taylor." And so that's another.
Do you think that plays into it for some people?
I rarely remember that, to be honest.
No,
I think it does. I'm sure there's like a very very slight minority that sort of. That just can't wait to get rid of them. They want the club rid of. They don't want any Rangers
I probably hate Mark. Scott Brown.
Aye, well, no, he has a Rangers.
He never won me over. No,
he
never
had a
won
Rangers
me over.
To right, next up. Do you think Celtic's recent improvement in form will continue after the winter break? Do you think it depends if we strengthen or not? That's from Kieran Fallon. Yeah, the upturn in performance, Stephen, that you said was much needed.
Yeah,
from Celtic, that's what you wanted to see. There's no real, there's no getting away from it. For us to win the league, it needs to continue. What we saw before the winter break simply can't continue.
No. I mean, we've seen it a few times this season. I think we addressed this on the most recent flagship episode, in that whenever Celtic have been presented the opportunity to kick on and get better and put a bit of momentum together, it hasn't happened for whatever reason. There have been really good performances in there. Rangers was one, and that little run between the Hearts game and now, the January break, was very good. Very good. I mean, going into that, I thought I'd bite your hand off for 10 points in any order, whatever it is. 10 points out of these four games, that's about the maximum we can expect and the minimum we should demand here. So we go and get 12 points. I think we only conceded one goal, and it was the free kick, I think, off the top of my head. So that was really excellent. In some ways, I suppose you could make the case that the January break has come at the worst time and the best time, because it's the best time in that confidence is probably up, and what we're going to do is add players to that. So hopefully then that can kick us on for the rest of the season. But that's the counter to that would be that, yes, but it has come in during Celtic's best run of form that they've put together all season. So do I think it will continue? It's really hard to say just now. I don't want to sit on the fence in that. It's just that the pattern this season has been good result, dip off, good result, dip off, good result, dip off. So I'm hoping that we can actually do a bit of business in this January window, get players that can come in and hit the ground running. I mean,
there's lots of questions about the January window coming up.
Oh, good, right. So, but there's so many questions there. I mean, you have to adjust, you have to bring in players. What we all want, what everyone's demanding, is players to come in and go straight into the first 11. That is a demand that everyone's making. None of this squad filler stuff that we've...
Including the manager.
Yeah, exactly. But with that comes the risk that they get thrown straight into the first 11, three, four brand new players to go straight into the first 11 and improve it. But they all better hit the ground running as well and to continue this form. So it's not quite as easy as just continuing the form. There are obstacles there. But as we've said before, tough shit now. The time is up. The bad run, that little bit of inconsistency that we've seen all season has to be up now. In order to win leagues, you need to go on big winning runs, and Celtic need to do that now.
There's no doubt about it, Melian, but Celtic really need to get the act together in the second half of the season.
Yeah, look, I think we did get the act together there. I think we got the big wake-up call we needed. I think this season's been difficult, to be honest. I think the Celtic never could quite get on a run because we had those Champions League games in there, and you'd be winning games, you'd be dent of confidence, the injuries as well. I think a lot of the time this happens, Stephen mentioned it recently, like if you look back to Ange's first like 5 months or whatever it is up to the January break, the lineups were wild, the teams were wild, it just everything seemed to settle down after that. And with us out of Europe, I think we'll maybe only have a few midweek games now, so it's not like we're playing every week, and that gives Celtic more time in the training field. But the crucial thing for me is in these four games we've just seen just before the break since the Hearts game, Celtic barely conceded a chance. They barely looked like letting in goals. But the most pleasing thing for me, culminating in the St Mirren game, was we started doing absolutely everything I want Celtic to do, and that's fast start, crisp passing, straight out of the defence into midfield, getting at players. And crucially, when a player passed the ball, there was runs off him. So we've seen Taylor, we've seen Johnston moving inside if the winger went on the outside. Bernardo was getting in a positions that he wasn't getting into previously. Matt O'Reilly was just doing Matt O'Reilly. But guys like Greg Taylor were popping up for goals because they were making runs.
Look at
Matty. Yeah, look at him, please. So guys like Greg Taylor were even getting goals towards the end because they were making runs in there. And that's what wasn't happening before. It was all too passive. It was all too, I've made my pass now, so I don't need to do anything after that. But I think they must have get torn apart in there and said, look, yous are all playing for your positions now, because there's nobody there that wasn't replaceable after that Hearts game, apart from the guys that have been doing it all season. And everybody that's come back in has really upped it. And I think with Abada back and I know Hatate's away, but those two back plus a couple of new signings in, it gives us options we simply didn't have. We can't.
How do you rate our chances, Melly? Say the January transfer window's a flop.
Right.
We bring players in. Well, we don't bring any players in as option A. We bring players in and they're not good enough to improve the first team, aka start. In other words, a repeat of what we saw in the summer. How do you rate our chances for the league if that was to happen? So that this quality coming in, these players to start, how do you rate our chances for the league should that not occur?
At best, 50-50. Because I think, despite the win over Rangers, I think that's fine, but it's not those games we've really struggled in, to be honest. It's the ones that breaking teams down. But if we play like we did against St Mirren, Dundee, Livingston and Rangers, we'll be fine. But at the same time, we need to have options. We got those games won, but as soon as players came on the park, like the Rangers game, the quality dipped off, and that's where we need a hand right now. The starting 11 is all right. We need a couple of players to come in. So if Celtic play roulette with this league, I think they'll lose it, because it's not Michael Beale we're up against anymore. Clement, for the performance in the derby, wasn't great for me from them. Nothing was really different, but he's winning the other games, and I think Rangers will do that. So I'm expecting, well, I'm just going to think Rangers are going to do well, because that's what they've done. They've won, lost one game under them. So if they continue in that form and Celtic continue on their form, they're in better form than us. So I think Celtic need to strengthen here, and they need to get the players that the manager wants.
It's funny, Stephen, I've seen a lot of this sort of where people transpose the first half of the season onto the second half for both Celtic and Rangers, and going, well, if the league plays out in the way it already has done, then Celtic will be clear winners. And to that, always raise Melly's point. No, because what Rangers did was a couple of games and they got rid of the old manager and brought in a new one. So what you need to do is you need to take what what you need to do is what he's doing and transpose that form to the end of the season versus Brendan and see who comes out on top. And the unfortunate thing is, it's probably Rangers.
Yeah, well, I think that's why we said going into the Rangers game, it was a completely different challenge to the Michael Beale thing, because it'd be foolish of us to ignore the fact that they had a major problem and they cut it out. They just cut it out. They didn't let it drag on for months and months.
How's he getting on at Sunderland?
Well, it's funny, just as Melly was talking about Michael Beale, I was listening to Totally Football this morning. They were talking about the derby, the Tyne Weir derby that got gubbed off Newcastle. And they were saying, well, that's fine, because Newcastle are technically the richest club in the world, depending on their ownership, but they've got so many injuries. They've had an absolute injury crisis for months now, and they're struggling to put teams out. But they were talking about how it was all a bit pathetic from Sunderland. They didn't perform well. They didn't really get it. So
he's not going to last.
No, and I can't remember who the contributor was, but it's an English football podcast, so it's not like there's any sort of Celtic bent to it. So the guy said, I just don't get it with Michael Beale. I don't get who he is. I don't really get him as a manager. I don't know why they appointed him. I think they get rid of a really popular manager in Tony Mowbray and replaced him with this guy, and I don't really know where they're going.
Did you hear about his comments on the crowd, though? Did you hear what Beale said about the crowds in the stands, about how, it's a proper derby. There's fans from either side, and some chairmen don't like that. Some boards don't like that. I don't really go for that. So he was having a wee pop at the Rangers board. Could have spoke up while he was at the club, obviously, but he decided not to.
It's not kind of a wee mention of the fact that he coached in Brazil again, right? So he mentioned that. He said, I've done it in Glasgow and in Brazil. See, when you actually, I've never really looked into it before, but I heard him say that, and he was like an assistant coach or something under someone, and they get kicked out after about 3 months because they were all absolutely terrible. So
you can still stick it in the CV, mate. Okay.
Yeah.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Next up, do you think Scales deserves a big, fat new contract? And what are your thoughts on the Scott McKenna rumours? Fergus says, in my opinion, McKenna isn't good enough.
Well, nailing his colours to the mast there. No to McKenna, yes to Liam Scales there. Is that what he's saying? No is my answer to the Liam Scales thing. And it's not for the reasons you might think. It's not just a case of, do you like Liam Scales? Give him a contract. Do you not like Liam Scales? Then don't give him a contract. I think it's more complicated than that. I think Celtic in recent years have been guilty of giving out sentimental contracts that everyone's okay with at the time, but then they lead to problems down the road. I don't think that's the case with Liam Scales. I think he's not like a Scott Brown or James Forrest, where the contract later becomes a little bit troublesome in that they've kind of given it beyond their use at the club. But Liam Scales, he's 25 now, one of the oldest defenders in the squad, and while he deserves recognition for his performances this season, that's absolutely beyond doubt, I don't know what the use of it is to the club, because he's already on another season after this one. So he's got another season and a half. So a season and a half left on his current contract. At that point, he will be, 26, about to be 27. Is that really worth persevering with? So if you extend it now, do we really need a 29, 30-year-old Liam Scales about the squad? Well, it's not a no, it's not a hard no.
We're no rushing to Guy Bernardo a deal, and he's on the up. Why don't we just wait? My position would be a bit like you, Steve. We don't need to give a retirement plan to... Look, Liam Scales has been fantastic for Celtic. There's no doubt about it. The guy's been fantastic. He's proved everybody wrong, including us, including me. Every time we think he's going to slip up, he doesn't. He's faced every single challenge that's come his way, and he's put in the performances, heroic performances, as we've said in previous podcasts. That guy will put his head where some players won't put their feet, and he does it all in the name of the cause. And look, you can't ask for any more.
No.
Is that a golden handshake? And the reason it makes me nervous is because Celtic don't do 2-year extension or a year extension for Liam Scales on better money.
Aye.
Celtic do 5-year deals and they pass them out like sweeties. So the worry is, as we've seen with Lagerbielke already, he's free to go in January window. The only club he's linked with at the moment is Lecce, who want him on loan. Why do they want him on loan? Because he's on a massive deal at Celtic and they'll not get that money anywhere else. So I don't know if you necessarily want to get into the Liam Scales 5-year commitment. Would I be happy with Liam Scales getting another year on his deal, so May 2026, and doubling his wages? Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
He deserves it. Yeah. He deserves a wage rise. Absolutely deserves a wage rise, the guy, because his performances from when he joined to now warrant it. So the guy deserves a wage rise. Does he deserve a 5-year deal that Celtic just love giving out? Nah. We don't need to pay off Liam Scales for the rest of his life. Just make him a very rich guy, and a year extension, perfect. Double his money, perfect.
So I want to tidy that my point up just before I move on and let Melly speak. I'm gonna let you speak, Melly, but just to be absolutely clear about what I foresee happening in the future with Liam Scales is that everyone is keen to do this just now. Well, not everyone, but the point comes up, and you know, people are quite keen to do it, but keen to give him a contract at this juncture. So he's playing very, very well. Has made the place in the team absolutely his own. No one has budged him all season. We've got so much competition in there. We've had an astonishing number of centre-halves have taken part this season. I think it's seven, because Starfelt played against Ross County at the start of the season. So we've used seven centre-halves so far, and that's not even mentioning Kobayashi, who's also on a five-year contract, by the way. Him, Kwon, Yang, they're all on five-year contracts.
And just to interject slightly, Stephen, all the talk is about a new long-term contract for Liam Scales. It's not about more money. All the chat is Celtic to reward Liam Scales with a new long-term contract.
Yeah, but it's to me, again, I just want to be clear about my motivations for saying no on it. It's not really about the here and now, because I think he deserves recognition for that and a wage rise, absolutely. But here's what I see happening going forward. What if, it doesn't look like it just now, but for the sake of discussion, what if Navrotsky works out long-term, right? What if he suddenly becomes more and more established? He becomes the player that we signed, right? It doesn't look like it at the moment. He might be off in January just like Lagerbielke. It remains to be seen. He has been okay recently. But what if, even if it's not him, if it's someone else that comes in, say we sign Scott McKenna, and we'll come on to the second part. Say we sign Scott McKenna, then we've got Liam Scales on a five-year contract and he's still hovering about the squad like Stephen Welsh is when he's 29, 30, 31, barely playing. Is that worth doing at this moment in time?
Again, is it worth it for Liam Scales?
No, maybe it is. I mean, maybe he's perfectly happy with his lot here, and he's contributing to the club I believe he supported. So that to me, that's my opinion on it, is that we don't need to go rushing into it. See if it come the end of this season, when he's in his last year of his contract, and it's just undeniable, no one's going to get past Liam Scales because he's been absolutely brilliant, and that's possible, then maybe, but 2 or 3 years maximum, just relax on it. I've been a bit fed up with Celtic's flinging around of contracts, because you can't have it both ways. We can't sort of complain about the size of the bloated squad and we collect too much mediocrity in the squad. I'm not saying that's what Liam Scales is, but also celebrate the handing out of very, very long contracts to players who haven't proven themselves. That's, again, that's not what Liam Scales is.
Can you just give him a bunk? There's £1 million. You've been great.
Brown envelope.
Go buy your mum's a house.
I just give him in a briefcase.
Send him golfing with DJ Khaled. Melly, I can give you 3 seconds on this because of how much me and Stephen have spoken.
I think I'd have been the same as you guys, but recently I just can't deny Liam Scales now. And look, I'm looking at Liam Scales. He's 25 years old, left-sided centre-halves. They come at a premium, don't they? So are Celtic sort of protecting an asset here now? Because a while ago, I would have said, look, why give Liam Scales a contract? Because you're never going to sell Liam Scales. You're going to be stuck with him. But Celtic are scouting around for players all the time, then surely other teams will be scouting around and going, look, here's a left-sided centre-half, international footballer. He's played in the Champions League 6 games. There you go. And he's played well.
Pep loves a left-sided centre-half as well. You never know.
We're going to get gazumped. Yeah.
But I think it's got to the point now where he's pretty undeniable for me anyway. Cameron Carter-Vickers has had a lot of injuries this season. Yeah. Stephen Welsh, I don't think he's injury prone, but he seems to get injured all the time, and I'm saying that because he's always different injuries.
Yeah,
it was a shoulder thing that can't be helped. So it seems to be every time he gets a chance, something happens to him. Navrotsky might be good or might not, but Brendan Rodgers simply hasn't fancied him, and Lagerbielke's on the way out. So if Celtic are looking at what good centre-halves they have right now, it's Carter-Vickers and Scales. So I think you'd want to protect that for me, and I think the guy has earned it. But at the same time, don't be dishing out five-year ones, because I think
other lengths of contracts do exist.
They are available. 3 years or 3 year contract. It's up to you what you give them.
Yeah,
So I think
we'll give you another year with more money. I've heard of that in football. Yeah. I think I've heard Celtic do it as well.
I don't think you can do that, but I think it's 3 to 5 years, because if you offer that to Liam Scales, he's well within his rights to go, no, I'm a first-team player here. I've played pretty much every game this season. I've barely let you down, and I've performed. You need to reward me with something.
That's true.
It's my career as well. But at the same time, Liam Scales has recently got himself into the Ireland squad. From what I hear, that means a lot to him, and he'll want to be in that. And I think he himself said to somebody, realises he'll be on Celtic money, which will make it difficult if he was to fall out the team. But I think I think he's warranted his extension now. Like yours, I don't want it to be a five-year one because I think, like us giving it to Matt O'Reilly, Hatate, Kyogo, and all these big contracts going brilliant, then we go, oh, by the way, we've given a badder one as well. You're like, why? Why? It just doesn't make sense. With Liam Scales, I'd give him a new deal, but I wouldn't give him a five-year deal.
Okay, listen, we'll need to make this a five-year podcast if we're going to take as long as we are through these questions. We are on question number five. There are 14 in total. We'll see how many we get through. But if we speed up, we've got a better chance of getting through them. And here's the next one. What's had the most catastrophic impact, asked Paul McNally, on our stuttering season so far? The summer signings or our horrendous injuries? I feel the injuries to key players have played a huge part. Melee.
Both.
Okay. pick both.
It's a difficult one. I think I would go with the signings because I think with Celtic, the squad we have is decent enough. And I think if we had brought in decent signings, we wouldn't have felt the impact of the big players going out as much. So if we had brought in a decent wingers, then Yang wouldn't have had to play as much. Mikey Johnston wouldn't have had to play as much. James Forrest wouldn't have had to play as much. The fact that we brought in all these wingers and Palmer's come in and been decent, it's no good enough. I think as well, Cameron Carter-Vickers got injured and Celtic brought in three centre-halves and Liam Scales was the preferred one. And when fit, Stephen Welsh was the preferred one. So I think on that as well, that hasn't helped. And look, Celtic needed to improve a few positions in the summer, left back and goalkeeper, and we brought in neither. So it's not good enough. So I think if we had brought in decent players in other areas, it would have helped the players that were playing, or we wouldn't have felt the injuries as much.
Oddly, Stephen, I don't think the injuries have played that big a part. I mean, Carter Vickers is a huge loss, but as Melly said, Scales has stepped in. The other guys obviously have filled in, haven't been that great, but Hatate's obviously a big loss, but when we lost him, he wasn't really up to speed. Now, that's a bit of a, you can't really make that comparison because that would suggest that in all of those games, he would never, ever get back up to speed.
Yeah.
You know, it might just be a case of that he needed a few games to get into the groove with Brendan's new style and all that sort of stuff. So Hatate's the biggest loss for me, but I don't think the injuries can be blamed for a stutter season. I think a manager struggling with the team that he had, I think that transition period that Brendan had with the team, I think that caused a lot of problems. But I think the overall quality of the squad and the lack of good players coming in probably caused it the most.
Yeah, look, it's a much broader issue that I won't drag us into, but not improving the team in any meaningful way was garbage. It really was, looking back.
Unheard of.
Unforgivable, to be honest. Palmer, Bernardo now in the last 3 weeks, and that's it, really. I suppose there is a parallel universe where Mike Navrotsky is more of an established player by now, had he not got injured, right? Because there was that centre-half crisis at the start of the season where I think Carter Vickers, Welsh, Navrotsky was injured, so was, like, there were four. I can't remember
Starfelt
who it
was injured when he arrived.
Starfelt, of course, right? So Navrotsky comes in, plays a couple of games.
Sorry, I just want you to put some respect on Nat Phillips' name.
Yeah, Nat Phillips.
Was injured when he arrived and he's now away back home.
That's right. Oh, he came in. He came in as the emergency loan and wasn't fit enough to play for 4 weeks or something. Brilliant. So there is an alternative universe where Navrotsky is more of an established player by now, had it not been for the injuries. But so what? I mean, does that improve anything really? Because that just means you don't have Liam Scales this whole time, getting man of the match in every second game and playing in Europe and being brilliant against Rangers and that. So I don't know if you can necessarily, like you, I don't know if you can necessarily make the case that these players being injured have really affected much. Of course, you want to have as many players available as possible to select from, but I just don't think any of these players would have made a significant impact. And Navrotsky's been fit for ages now and hasn't really been fancied. Hatate, yes. Abada, to an extent, because you know that he can pop up with goals. He always has. But would he be featuring as much? Would he? He was always a wee, in his second season under Ange, he was a wee bit of a bit part player towards the end. So I don't think he would have been all that big a deal. But again, you want him available rather than not. But Hatate's been a big one, to be honest. I think we would have been much better with Rio Hatate in a more consistent basis throughout this season, yeah.
Just before we move on, I think when we look at the three big players Celtic lost, Starfelt, Jota and Moy, Navrotsky's not been better than Starfelt, Palma's not been better than Jota, and so far Bernardo's not been better than Moy, has he? So were weaker. So the players coming in, have they been as good? And then we signed six other ones that are crap. So
beautifully put. And it's funny you mentioned that. I don't know if you guys can see the questions coming up. I don't think so. But no. The next question is very apt. Oh. Is Lewis Palma any better than Hak Sabanovic?
So forget Jota. It's about Hackles.
Stephen Henderson. Interesting point there, because I'm starting to think that Lewis Palma was it's him or nothing style transfer. Might as well go and get him, because we can't get anybody else through the door, or we're missing out on our targets. He's been okay. It is a strange one, though, and it's a question I've never really heard asked about Celtic players, because if Brendan's hand was somewhat forced to play Palma, for the simple fact that there's nobody else really good enough to play that side, but doesn't necessarily mean that Palma's his first choice. Had Hak Sabanovic still been at the club and he was forced to play him in the same way that he's forced to play Palma, Stephen, do you think there's much difference in the players? I mean, numbers-wise, I think Palma's contributing a lot more than Hak Sabanovic
did. I think...
Numbers-wise, but I always thought Hak Sabanovic looked good. He always looked like a good player when he came on. Trouble starting games, looked a lot better off the bench. I think with Hak Sabanovic's issues were sort of more about training, mentality and standards and all that sort of stuff at training rather than anything he did on the pitch. I think he was a bit of a show pony. But again, Melly has levelled that at Lewis Palma.
Yeah, I think that what you're probably dealing with across most of, if not all, of Celtic's wingers is that it tends to be more about the level of frustration that you're comfortable with. You pick. Basically, they're all frustrating in some way or another. And Hak Sabanovic and Palma are absolutely no different. So it depends what you want to get annoyed about, whether you want one player or the next. Because I think Palma's numbers have been better. I think Palma's got about six or seven goals this season. I think Hak Sabanovic probably only got five in total in his Celtic time. They tended to be big goals, though. They tended to be important goals. Hak Sabanovic scored
some impressive goals in there as well.
Not even so much like against Rangers, or he should have done better against Rangers, actually. As soon as I said that, I get flashbacks to him being cleaned through at Hampden and screwing it wide on at least two occasions, I think it was. So it could have done better. But it's not so much that I don't say important goals as in they were like winners in the Champions League or against Rangers, but when you look at the games he scored in, it tended to be, if you took those goals away, Celtic were getting a draw or a defeat or something like that. It was a double against Hearts in midweek. So, it wasn't a double. He scored an absolute cracker, and then he scored a brace at home against someone. Yeah. So there were moments for Hak Sabanovic, but Palma's had more of them, I think, so far. But again, it's just a bit... choose your poison. Whether you want to get annoyed about whether you want to goals in a bit of a show pony with Palma, or a quite classy, quite effective player in Hak Sabanovic, but doesn't do it anywhere near often enough. And you could apply that against all the wingers. They're all frustrating to some degree or another. So is he better?
They're just not Jota, are they?
No, they're just not. So is Hak Sabanovic better than Palma, or vice versa? Hard to say. I think I'll give him a season before I make that decision, but I would say he's much more of a goal threat than Hak Sabanovic as it stands. And he's maybe gone under the radar. He's played some lovely passes for goals for Celtic. Yeah, it's not just saying X assist, that he's had four assists, but that cross for O's goal at home, that lovely through ball for Bernardo's first goal.
Dundee.
Yeah.
I must say he's improved in the past. Before the window, the last three or so games before we shut down, I thought Palma sort of improved a wee bit.
Yeah, I think Palma can be coached as well. I think that it was clear that Hak Sabanovic had a bit of a problem with not being picked as much. I think that's basically what did for him. He made some sort of comment online about how he wasn't getting picked enough, and basically about 3 days later he was gone. So I think Palma...
Now he's at Stoke not getting picked.
Really? Well, there we go. There's
we'll
a bit
we'll
of
get
a
him back then, don't worry about it.
So I would say that Palma is more likely to be able to coach into this team to be a more effective player, rather than just sort of hanging a bit waiting for Hak Sabanovic to come up with these magical moments every so often. So probably, he's not markedly better than Hak Sabanovic, but I'm happy to be sticking with him rather than the other way around, to be honest.
It's quite funny, midweek the Stoke manager was speaking about Ange, saying it's great having Ange in the league, get to pick his brain about players like Haksa, ask him how to get the best out of Hak Sabanovic. And I just thought to myself, Ange probably just said, don't play him, mate. How do I get the best out of this guy? You can't.
Speaking of which, I've been, not to derail us too much, but I've been consuming a lot of Ange content recently again because he's all over the place and, you know, sue me. Still love the guy. Should I be punished for that? But the thing about being asked if he can picture trophies or picture winning trophies, it made me all warm inside because I thought to myself, we spend a lot of time criticising Scottish journalists and the shite that Ange get asked when he was up here, but it just turns out everybody does it. Everybody just patronises the absolute shit out of Australian coaches, and they just think that he's just buzzing to be there, as if he'd never. Oh, I never belonged here. I'm just some normal Australian Locked guy that gets fried, basically. So apparently everyone does it. It's not just us.
Melly, Hak Sabanovic or Lewis Palmer?
Could Palmer do it on a cold and windy night in Stoke? Let me think. I think Palmer shades it for me. More than shades it, I think he's come in, he's played most games, whereas Hak Sabanovic was in and out. With Palmer, despite him having many frustrations, I still expect him to walk off the pitch with a goal and an assist in a game. So I think he, not guarantees, but he is more of a threat, like Stephen said. And I think he is the kind of guy that needs a coach like Brendan Rodgers, who is going to be able to refine the small things about him. And I think he needs guys like Cal McGregor and Matt O'Reilly alongside him, telling him, stop that, stop the nonsense. Because I think that a lot of the times he's trying to, for me, when I've seen him sort of at the games, he's trying to pass the buck by doing a poor pass and then going to somebody, and his teammates have been very quick to call him out for it. So I think he will learn quickly, and I think he'll have to learn quickly because we can't go into next season going again needing another winger. So I think there is still a lot to learn for him, but I'd have Palmer over Hak Sabanovic every day.
It's like we're on, you know, if there's a spectrum between Abada and Jota, Palmer's kind of in the middle, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's kind of maybe even bang in the middle. Right, Mel, I'm going to come to you first in the next one because I've been a little unfair to you, I think. So here we go. Things took a dark turn after the Hearts' defeat with chance of sack the board and talk of maybe sacking the manager from some fans. Was that an overreaction, said Griggs 88. I have reduced the size of some people's questions just to fix them, just to get them fixed on these little place cards. So there was more to it, but that's the gist of it. Do you think that back a couple of weeks ago, Melly, do you think that was an overreaction?
No, I don't like telling people how they should think or feel. I don't think that's fair. You're entitled to react to a defeat however you want. But for me, I think anything about the manager being sacked, no, I don't think so. But I can also understand that because at that time, at that point, we hadn't beat Rangers and we hadn't won three games in a row. For the second time, we hadn't beat Rangers and then we hadn't won those four games in a row. And within those four games, we've seen the best performances domestically of the season, for me anyway. So no, because it was crap, to be honest. It was terrible.
It was terrible, man.
We beat Kilmarnock and then we beat Feyenoord in a dead rubber. Great, but we were out of the Champions League after four games. We were out of Europe pretty much after four games as well. So while I think the manager thing was a bit too quickly coming up, I don't think the board thing is, because honestly, I don't see this club going anywhere with this board. And they can talk about how they're one of the best run clubs in Europe, and I'm like, but you don't make an impact in Europe at all. You're absolutely nobodies in Europe. We are never the club that's having the big results, and I'm not having any of the crap that it's difficult in that, because look, all the stuff you've told us over the years, whether it be about transfers, whether it be about Europe, whatever it is, it's all been blown out of the water over the last few years. Ange came in, told you to get players quickly, and he done it. He told us that January was a difficult window, yet under Ange, we had three or four players signed within the first week or so. We're told, it's difficult to make an impact in Europe, and the other club in the city are going out and getting to Europa League finals. So I don't buy any of the nonsense they tell us, all of this stuff. Look, Celtic need a refresh in the boardroom. I think they need a refresh. We need fresh ideas and we need a direction, because I don't really know what Celtic are. Yes, we'll hoover up trophies domestically, but honestly, some of the times, what are we up against? I can't sit here and pan the league every week and say it's terrible and then say, it's a tough league to win and all that, because ultimately it's not. It's not. Celtic need to have everything in order and they should win the league, but that's not enough for me. I want European nights. I want my team going out there and beating teams We've seen it this year, every single time, whether it be this year, last season in the Champions League, we're two or three players away from this. Why? Why? We've got money there to go and do it.
I think, I mean, I can't really disagree with anything Melly said, Stephen. I think the shortcomings of the board are clear, and I think sack the board chance should pretty much be here to stay, because we don't have short memories. You know, we've been doing this podcast now for eight seasons.
Yeah.
And we've been going to Celtic games a lot longer than that, and we've been, you know, online. But the point I'm making is we've been across what's happening at Celtic for a long time, and Celtic trying to be... Celtic wanted to be Bodo Glimt or Copenhagen, or we've wanted to be this team going back every single year. It's just always been a different European team. Yeah. So we've had the 10-year project that we've never managed. But, you know, this season it's why can't we be like Copenhagen? Then a couple of years ago it's why can't we be Bodo Glimt? Then a couple of years before that it's like why can't we be Eintracht Frankfurt? Then a couple of years before that, it's like we always want to be the next thing. And
nobody ever wants to be Celtic, do they?
Yeah, no, they don't. But this board have for years and years and years made out like that's the plan, where we want to be one of these up-and-coming European teams. What? Show me then. Because you've all been, more or less all of you, the same people have been there for decades now, at least the last 8 years or 9 years that we've been doing the podcast. So in that period of time, all the same faces have had the same goal, and they've seen other teams achieve it and they've not done it. So there is kind of like a directionless element from Celtic. Another thing I've been thinking about recently is the Scottish League isn't exactly awash with the young talent.
No.
And neither is Celtic. We're losing players left, right and centre. But it seems to me that Hibs and Aberdeen and Hearts and these teams are doing a better job at bringing young players through than us now. Because, you know, we're watching these guys go to Italy and watching these guys get sold down south. And now Celtic are in a position where we can't even buy them. We probably couldn't afford Lewis Ferguson if we wanted to go and buy him now. Josh Doig would probably cost us a lot of money. These guys are slipping through Celtic's fingers now. For me, why did we not buy them from their parent clubs before they went away? Secondly, why didn't we poach them at 14 or 15 that's happening to us? Why did we not spot them before they turned into these players? So Celtic are sort of, they're losing on the European front and they're not doing so well on the domestic front either because we should have all the best domestic talent. The money we spend on our youth development, we should have the best domestic talent. The majority of it should come through Celtic, and that's not happening either. So on both fronts, aside from winning domestic trophies, which we're all, you know, very pleased about, yada, 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 on both fronts we're not doing particularly well, and I think fresh ideas are needed. So do I think the sack the board stuff was out of the question at the time? No. Do I think chat to sack the manager was a bit of an overreaction at the time? Yes. Was chat, we need to keep our eye on this and see where it's going, was that an overreaction? No, I don't think it was, all signs were pointing to downhill.
Yeah, and
that makes sense.
So yeah, ridiculous signs, those road signs just all come.
It's like those road signs that tell you about a landslide and deer. You're like, what do you want me to do? Deer? Sound?
So what I've always said about, you know, see when celebrations, when pitch invasions happen and all that, and people say, oh, celebrating as if you've won the World Cup and all that, that's not really how it works. What I've always maintained is that celebrations are based on the emotion you feel at the time. It's those, if you do the calculations and say, aye, do you know what, scoring against Dundee in the 96th minute, isn't it that great? I'll sit back down. That's not how those things work. And in the same vein, I don't think that the anger after the Hearts game was an overreaction, because that's just what everyone felt. It wasn't as if we all got together and thought, do you know what, we're going to massively overreact. It was just an outpouring of anger at the end of that game. I was there. I think I described it after the game as the worst game I can remember having been to. And I mean, like in the modern era, because I mean, I was going with Celtic, were absolutely garbage, but you understood that at the time. Mm. So I thought the Hearts game was absolutely terrible, and it came, bear in mind, off the back of losing to Kilmarnock as well. So you lose two league games in a row, and the reality is that's bad for a team like Celtic. Yeah. I know that people say, oh, typical entitled old firm fans and all that, right? There's a lot of that out there. Can he handle losing a game? But that's reality for a club like Celtic. You lose two games in a row.
I've got no time for these dweebs that go... So we don't support the Glasgow teams, so we get to watch from the sidelines and laugh at everything you do. Yours are worse.
Yeah, so I don't think it was an overreaction. And yes, with hindsight, it was over the top to question the manager's position. But while I never indulged in the sack the manager stuff, I was willing to, via our online community that we have in our Discord, okay, through the Patreon, right? I think that's it's a good community in there, and there people are in there are willing to have nuanced conversations and debates on stuff like that. So I think that I was willing to entertain the chat about where are we going? What is the point of this manager if we're not seeing a style of play, if we're not getting the results, if we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that, right? So let's all try and come to terms with the fact that it hasn't worked out the way we thought it has, or thought it would rather. So at that point, I think the discussion is worth having, even if the end result of that is you arrive at, it'd be daft to sack the manager just now. I think the debate is a worthwhile one, and that happened, and I was happy for that to happen, and I engaged in it and said that I'm not seeing many reasons to continue in this manner, in this direction just now, because this season hasn't promised anything or hasn't delivered anything it promised on at first. But now that Celtic are better, again, it goes back to our very first question, I think it was, where we talked, oh no, one of the first questions about carrying on the form after this January week. That'll be telling. That'll be very telling. And the discussion may happen again.
Is it telling as well that none three of us put our neck on the chopping block for Brendan Rodgers and went, no, he's got it. He can do it. Nope. I mean, that in itself was an option. The option was there to have faith in the manager that he would turn it around, that, you know, this is a blip and don't worry about it. It'll come good for the end of the season because Brendan Rodgers got a track record. He's still a good manager. That option was there. None of us took it for whatever reason. There were people who took it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people who took it for their own self-congratulatory reasons, I'm sure of it, just, you know, in the hope that it would turn out okay so they could give everyone a told you so. But that option was there. None of us took it. And, you know, Brendan will be watching this podcast and that's what he'll be thinking. He'll be looking at all three of us. He'll be in his Spanish villa conducting transfers. Why scout on one screen, the 20-minute Tim's another screen? Going, well, look, you're all enjoying it now, but not one of you were by my side. Not one of you stepped up.
Probably
Judas.
Only Frozen Horses third, I reckon, and another screen.
You'd better jump down to Flamingos and play some pool. Right, listen, next up. How many signings do you think we will get? The Brodge was saying we needed four around December time, but he recently said one or two needed. Transfer window question from Cody Mitchell
that,
there.
He's been good at that this season, setting up expectations, and then about a week later saying, nah, I didn't say that at all. Well, I'm here to make my mark in Europe, but also we need to be realistic. I need four players in the door, but also one or two. And then my personal favourite was when, after the Rangers game, I think it was, he was asked about January, or before the Rangers, I can't remember what it was. So I think it was in between Rangers and St Mirren, but never mind. So he was asked about his January plans and he said, oh, I'm not even thinking about that. Like, come on. Yeah. He was spent about 10 weeks talking about how we need proven quality in this team. We need to fix all the problems in January. And then when he was asked about January? What's January? This guy's asking about January.
So I'm Dermot, right? Stephen, and you're Brendan. I'm going to take the first number that comes out of your mouth, right?
Okay.
How many players do you need from me in January, minimum?
I'm not going to do the accent, but four. I think four after everything we've said. I don't know
You've
why.
You've got to be joking, Brendan.
Do me a favour.
You've got to be joking, Brendan. Come on. I was just out golfing with DJ Khaled. He's a more sensible individual than you.
A minimum of three. Four would be ideal, I think. Four would be
you're a terrible
the best situation. I know. Yeah, I shat it there from big drip daddy Dermot there. I've climbed down from my position. I think three would be good. I think four would be ideal. I think four would be pretty much perfect, assuming they're all of the required quality. But it's got to be a minimum of three. We need a left back because we've only got one. I know we talked up Greg Taylor earlier on and gave him his dues. So I think Greg Taylor's been very, very good, but we've only got one. I know there's people saying, oh, but Liam Scales could fill in, but why do you want to start messing with that?
Take your best performance centre-half and stick him on left back.
Absolutely not. So we've only got one. Bernabe's, to all intents and purposes, completely gone. So we've only got one left back. We've only got one keeper and he's creaking. He's getting worse and worse all the time. Joe Hart, God love him.
He's a centre-half now. Are we back in a centre-half injury crisis? Carter Vickers, Navrotsky, did he go off injured?
He was taken off and Lagerbielka got maybe 20 minutes or something like that.
Lagerbielka's off-ski.
Yeah.
Welsh is injured. Carter Vickers is hobbling. You know, we're at the stage again now and Nat Phillips is away. We're sort of looking at it going, do we need a centre-half in? And then there's a striker on the winger. So I think five. We're up to five.
I'm happy with the midfield now because Bernardo has shown himself to be more than worth his place in the squad. So I'm happy with midfield. Prior to that, I would have said maybe midfield because we're struggling with injuries there and we're rotating that. It's either Turnbull or it's Home or it's whoever else just gets thrown in there and doesn't perform. But Bernardo is definitely worth persevering with. So I'm happy with that. But everything else, I agree with you that you've just listed there.
Martin Melly?
Look, Brendan Rodgers said four when he came in, didn't get it. He said four earlier on. So look, I can't imagine why we'd all of a sudden go, right, Brendan, how many players do you need? Four? I can offer you two.
That's how negotiations work. Well, I mean, we know how things work at Celtic, don't we?
Aye, but it shouldn't be a negotiation. You have brought in the manager who you think's the best guy for the job, so he's asking you for the things he needs to do his job, so go and get them for him. But this hasn't been... January just hasn't come up after September. The window slam shuts, and then in between that, you can do stuff. You can do stuff to prepare for it, yeah. But Celtic seem to they not take that advantage of that. But I think... Look, we need four players. I'm tired of beating around the bush here. It's not as if this, right, we can get to the end of the season and go for there. Why? Because at the end of the season, we're going to need players as well. And this season, you get eight Champions League games if you win the league. Eight Champions League games. We want to be a Champions League club. We want to be a European club. Well, go and prove it. Go and prove that you're again, playing Russian roulette with this league. Because Celtic, if they get four players in and they're decent, we should win the league. And this is us. I'm asking for four players, I'm expecting three of them to be really good. I'm not expecting all four players to come in and be absolutely brilliant because that's probably unrealistic. Yeah. We've done it with O'Reilly, Hatate, Maeda and Ediguchi. Three of them were good and one wasn't. So it's not always going to work out like that. So four, and I want them all to be good, but that is probably unrealistic. And there's no excuses. 72 million in the bank, added to that the Champions League money, added to that a win in the Champions League. Celtic have got the money there. Go and do it, man.
Reminded of the opinion that I held when this all kicked off, when we started to realise that the transfer window was a dud. If this wasn't Brendan Rodgers, if this was a brand new manager, if this was Jesse Marsh or whomever, unheard, unthinkable that he wouldn't be given the targets they wanted. Just wouldn't happen if this was a new manager. I think we've got time for two more questions, maybe three, depending on how quickly we get through them. Next up, do you have faith in the board to deliver the quality, not quantity? Which I think is a key difference, as we saw in the summer window. Of the players that Brendan is looking for this January from Sean Dyvers. So this is a question, Stephen, about, you know, what you were saying, players to go right in the team. Not four players that can contribute in some way. How many guys are going to start 70% of the games between now and the end of the season?
And in many ways, I'd actually be happy with just consolidating, just tidying up the squad. See if you can get one really good winger in and get rid of four of them. That to me would represent something of a success. Just one good player in the place of all the four frustrating guys that we've listed earlier on. Do that in several positions and you're starting to look like a really good squad. That tight squad of 23, 24 guys that we're looking at, if you bring two or three in, we go into every window thinking we could get rid of 12 players here and we need two or three in. If we do that in this window, it'll be huge steps towards getting the proper squad that Brendan Rodgers and we all want. So that's going to take quality. That's going to take the required level of player to come in and make us realise that we don't need all this stuff. We don't need 35 players. We need 24 good ones. As simple as it seems, right? As simple as it is to say that, it's kind of all we want. Do I have the faith that the board will be able to do it? I have to, but in current track record, in current very recent history, there's nothing to go on to suggest that is going to happen, other than Brendan Rodgers basically saying, "Look, it's this or nothing. It's this transfer window, or I'm gone again." And that will just be, including Brendan Rodgers and including us, the fans, including the board, that would just be a complete embarrassment for all involved if that happens. If we manage to piss off Brendan Rodgers to the point where he has to leave the club to save his reputation again, then that is absolutely mortifying, and it's an extinction level event for all involved. As that term
phrase again?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but again, that would be completely unforgivable. They've done a lot of unforgivable things, the board, but to drive out Brendan Rodgers purely because they just cannot get transfers done, doesn't even bear thinking about. It's their sole responsibility as a football club to get good players.
If they don't do it in this window, it's sack your manager or sack your son. Take your pick.
So I don't have a huge amount of faith, but I have to. I have to just give them the benefit of the enormous doubt and hope that they can get the job done. Because quite frankly, the possibilities of not doing it again, losing not only the league but the manager is just unthinkable. It can't happen. So please, just get it done.
Along the same lines as Stephen, but I think we'll find out in this window whether lessons have been learned, and see if they haven't, it needs to be changed. Because Celtic going out and trying this, trying to get players under 24 on a certain wage, it's not worked. It's just simply not worked. We've had Bernardo, who's been decent, and we've had Palma, who's been decent. Decent's not good enough. We need players to come in and improve the team. So if there's any signings made, what has to happen is, are they going to start against Bucky Thistle and the remaining league games? Yes. If the answer's anything apart from yes, just don't sign them, because the squad is littered with players like that. So don't do it. So Celtic, the board, the recruitment, whoever it is, need to learn the lessons. What you tried hasn't worked. It's not worked. So stop doing it. And if you want to bring in young players, that's brilliant. But what you need to do with that is supplement that with professionals, so these guys can learn off. Celtic have stopped doing that. They had a good blend of it under Ange, and then they stopped doing it to just bring in young players. But if you want to be like Ajax, then you're going to have to go seasons where things don't work. So that's not good enough at Celtic. We need to win the league every year. So stop doing it, sort it, and get good players in. But do I have faith? Nah.
I had a question about referees there, but it seems to have not transferred over from one.
Oh, it's a conspiracy here.
It's not transferred over from one to the other. There's a question there about, you know, how we think the referees are getting on. But look,
he's been got at. He's in the big.
I have.
In the pocket of big SFA.
So the final, going to release our audio of our pre-podcast discussion. Listen. Final question of the night, and it relates to transfer still, so we'll keep it in the vein of
it.
Here we go.
After all, isn't it?
Yeah. It is January and it is mid-season. Here we go. Stephen Smith, do you think the run of bad results in December has sealed the fate for the likes of Telio, Kwon and Holm? Or do you think they will be afforded enough game time to make an impact after the break, even with the very short points gap we have currently? Awful. Melly's shaking his head. Look, with the best will in the world, we want these players to do well. I think they actually fall into two camps there. I think Telio and Kwon, you can more or less forget about. I think Thiago Holm, Brendan Rodgers likes him. He's spoken well about him. Says he needs to improve his upper body strength. He needs to become a bit more physical for the role that he wants to play. So out of those two players, Melly, I think you'll probably see more of Holm. I would be surprised if Telio's even here. And there's talk that he's trying to get a loan move back to Australia. Which you would expect to happen, because he's not got a future at Celtic, let's be honest. And Kwon, who knows, man? I really doubt we'll see the likes of him.
Nah, I think Kwon, I'd be surprised if he plays a minute, to be honest. I'd be surprised if we see him in a competitive game for even a minute. Telio, nah, it's not going to happen for him. Even if he goes away, still don't see it happening. Holm, potentially, but in the games I've seen him, he's had a flick against St Mirren at home, but bar that, even the stuff that I expected him to do good, he wasn't really doing. But again, he's a young player coming from a different country, so I will give him the season, and maybe it'll be next season before we see the best of him. But he's got a chance here with Hatate away on international duty for a month or so. He's got a chance behind Bernardo. He'll probably be the first choice, and if he comes to the end of the season and he's not playing ahead of David Turnbull, then questions need to be asked of him. He came with a decent pedigree, he came with everything you'd want Celtic to kind of sign, but he's been the sort of surprise out of all the ones. Kwon, after hearing about him, where he came from, and the scouting report we got from Alex, I was like, this guy's not going to play, because Callum McGregor will play there, and it just doesn't sound good enough either. So, nah, they two out. I'll give home at the end of the season.
I don't know if recent results have sealed the fate any more than them just not being good enough already. Yeah. They had. Like,
they've had 6 months of training.
Yeah, well, that's it. There's always this sort of need a run of games thing, and it's it kind of, there was a discussion as we record this just today in the Discord. Someone had said that we were about to give up on Lagerbielke despite the fact he hasn't had a run of games. But I mean, as you've just said there, Millie, the chances, it's training. It's showing yourself in training. There's a difference.
How many 90 minutes has he played at Lennoxtown?
Oh, yeah, I know. Hundreds, not quite, but dozens and dozens scores. But he's clearly no got it. Not everyone deserves a run of games to prove it. Like, you don't just throw a guy in just to make sure. He's not good enough, but I better chuck him in for 12 games just to make sure, just so we can all be absolutely sure.
Really shitting goals left, right and centre.
Yeah, we've only got 7 games left of this run of games.
Brendan's looking like William Wallace there. He's like, hold, this guy's going to come good, hold.
How the run of games chat works is that fans, myself included, always want to be able to make our mind up. So Brendan Rodgers clearly already has, but we don't get the chance to make our minds up. So it always feels like the loop hasn't quite closed and these players go without the quote-unquote run of games. But
what about Liam Scales? Is this Liam Scales getting the run of games though?
Yeah,
People will be screaming at their podcast going, oh, Liam Scales got a run of games and look what happened.
But he was good basically from the start of that. What the run of games is basically is how it's often used. Liam Scales is an exception, of course, but how it's often used is that we need to give a player a run of games to prove that he's not shite. And that's not how it should work at all. Like, how can they improve? Can they get better with a run of games? Maybe. But you don't chuck them in and think, well, he's miles off it, may as well just keep playing him. The manager will clearly, and not only the manager, but the coaching staff will all form a profile of a player based on what they can do in training and bounce games and how they measure up against their fellow professionals. That's how it works. So I think all of that will have sealed the fate of these players rather than being involved or not in recent games, and those recent bad games sort of reinforcing the idea that we can't mess about with the team too much. We need to kind of play the best players to get the form back up. I think that they were all just quite odd signings, and I don't really mind that happening on occasion. But as Melly said, it has to be balanced out with better. We can't just populate the squads exclusively with these guys and hope that it works out. The Kwon, just a bizarre signing all round, really. Even at best, even if he was a really good player, and we'll probably never know, we'll never really get that run of games for us to make our mind up. What's the best case scenario? Because we've seen so many of those players in that position come and go over the years and they've never had an impact. It was Kwon like, better
is Kwon better than Adeguchi?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. No, who knows? So, is he better than Iwata?
No.
It's extremely unlikely.
You bought him as well?
Aye, and Iwata can't get near the team for the most part either. So it just seems a very, very odd signing. Home, I have hopes that he could prove himself eventually, but that, he needs to work on his upper body. I think it's easier said than done. Yeah. How long's that going to take? He's in his 20s. It's not as if you can images of him walking about Lennox and doing bicep curls with tins of beans and all that. but Gaffer says I need to
get on the raw eggs.
So I have hope that he might work out eventually. But likewise, the other side of that is, I wouldn't be surprised if he just completely disappears as well. Who knows? Yeah. But these guys, the odd thing about Holm and others is that they quite often come to Celtic not as really a raw project, but they've got 100 senior games under their belt. And for whatever reason, it just doesn't work at Celtic. It's not like we've plucked
Nobody in Norway was considering Holm a project.
No, it's not like we've plucked some 15-year-old like we used to do with foreign players, bring in teenagers and have them rattling around the B team for a wee while. We had so many of them with like Armstrong, Okaflex, and even Karamoko Dembele, with guys who were there for years and they were always hyped to some extent or another, but they were very, very young. Holm's he's kind of like, he's not a fully fledged footballer, but he's an experienced one in some way or another, kind of like Christopher Ayer when he came. But in getting off topic, I think those players would all be gone. I'll be disappointed with Tellio because I did believe the almost self-imposed hype, the hype that
you believed our own hype. You got high in your own supply there, Stephen, did you?
Yeah. So I think they'll all be gone, and I think it will just be as a consequence of them not being good enough rather than the urgency to get points now being the highest it's been for the season. I think they'll just work out that they're no good enough. Had they been good enough, had they been useful in any way, we would have seen them by now, in my opinion. It's not like, again, it's not like they're 15-year-olds and you don't expect to see them. Those are all of an age that you could easily play them. I think Kwon is like 23 or something like that. If he's a long-term project, what on earth does that look like? Are we going to start playing him when he's 27 or something like that? It's just the whole system is completely bizarre to me, calling these guys projects, because they are far too old to be considered that.
Well, Stephen, I was just having a quick look at the Discord there as you were chatting to see if any late transfer switches have come up, and our best friend Fabrizio Romano, who never seems to tweet good news about Celtic, has tweeted that Bologna are interested in Rocco Vata. They want to maybe take him in January. No, we're interested in a couple of Bologna players. So, you know, maybe a little swap deal could be done there of some
description. Oh, player plus cash. Now, those happen all the time.
Yeah.
player plus cash and a pay-as-you-play deal
as we've sat here, no transfer rumours have been breaking, but we'll check all that out in the Discord. Listen,
Jordan Henderson, remember, we've got Jordan the Daily Record have exclusively revealed that we're going to sign Jordan Henderson.
They're gobbledygook.
I love that.
I don't know how they are creating headlines, the Daily Record. It's all stuff like Henderson gamble plays bogey for Brendan and potential swoop gives green light to Celtic fans. It's like, what?
It's complete nonsense.
Joey for friends using the thesaurus to change every word in it.
It's absolutely brutal.
I love the Jordan Henderson situation, though. Like he went to Saudi Arabia 6 months ago to end homophobia. I remember he was going to work homophobia from the inside, bring it all down. So he's 6 months later, done that. Anything? What am I going to just put my feet up? Nah, got to move on. Got to go to Glasgow, sort out the sectarianism problem as well.
And he swoops. You know what's going to happen with him? I read that he only gets this tax-free cash if he stays in the country for a period. So basically, he's just going to be chapping the door of every Premier League club. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. I'll come and play for you if you pay this big tax bill for me.
£7 million, I know. Yeah.
Listen, Jordan, the best role in the world, you and Stevie made your bed away in the lining. Look, on that bombshell, we will wrap up. Thank you so much to all of our patrons who sent us in questions. The content doesn't stop over on patreon.com/20minutetims. Get involved, support the podcast, treat yourself to some extra content. You can get it all there. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you very soon.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.